One Sunday night several years ago, I was at my computer working on a paper. My daughter, Caitlin, who was about 5 at the time, came wandering in the room. It was way past her bedtime, and so annoyed, I said, "Caitlin, what are you doing up?" And she walked over and asked, "Mom, who was Virginia? You know, the one I'm named after." And I quickly explained that Virginia was her Poppy's, her grandfather's sister who died when she was 2 years old, and that's why her middle name was Virginia, and that's why my middle name is Virginia. Then she said, "I said, speak, for your servant is listening, and Virginia, the one who died, talked to me." I said, "What?" And she said, "Yes," she said, "she was happy and doing fine," and then Caitlin just wandered back off and went back to bed. The next day, I found out that their lesson that Sunday morning in worship had, Sunday school had been the story you just heard of Eli and Samuel. There were several times when Caitlin was around that age that she would say that she spoke with Virginia and that she was happy. But now that she's a young adult, she doesn't really remember that time. But I'll never forget that time she came in to me and shared that with me, or the time we were in carpool line, I was fixing to drop her off and her older sister was homesick, and so we decided we would say a prayer for Kristen, and Caitlin went. And then she turned to me and said, "Mom, does God talk to you like God talks to me?" I said, "Well, not really." This morning, some 20 years later, my answer, I'm afraid, would also be, "Not really." Now, I can only speak for myself, but I have a feeling some of you might also respond in the same way. And why is that? Does God speak to us and we don't hear? Do we even listen for God's voice? Does God still speak to people today? We may sometimes feel a sense of God's presence, but hearing God's voice, not so sure that really happens, at least not to many people. Maybe it's the same as in Samuel's time. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widely known. Many of us might argue that the rarity of visions in the time of Samuel applies to our own time. But I wonder, was the Lord really quiet then, and is the Lord really quiet today, or was no one listening? Some of us may not be able to hear God's voice because we don't want to hear God's voice. We're afraid of what God might say to us if we said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." We don't want to be asked to do something difficult or uncomfortable like Samuel. I mean, imagine being a young boy who's been mentored for several years by someone, and now you must speak to Eli and speak to him condemning words about his leadership and about his children. Really, God? Could you have begun with something less threatening? Couldn't you have made the first call to action something that was pleasant, easier? And after he hears God's voice, Samuel's life is never the same. It's harder. Actually, it's much harder. And do we want that? If we don't ask God to speak to us, then we don't have to respond to his voice. I also think it can be difficult to listen for God's voice. I work in a church every day, but I must confess that I'm busy and I get caught up in what I'm doing and I just don't think to stop and say, "God, please guide me as I go through my day." We're all busy and we have many voices that are competing for our attention. And then will we even recognize a voice or a word as being from God and not someone else? I wonder how often we miss hearing God's voice or how often we attribute it to someone human instead. How can we learn to listen and discern God's voice? First, we need to be still, and we have to want to listen. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book, When God is Silent, says, prayer should be less, "Lord, hear our prayers," and more, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." What would we hear if we listened for God's voice? If we let our hearts be open enough to say, "Speak, God, for I'm listening." How do you learn to listen? I think Samuel's story gives us some insights. The story of Samuel does not begin with the voice of the Lord or with Eli's training, but rather with his mother, Hannah. Hannah was one of two wives of Elkanah. Hannah had no children, but his other wife had several. And if you know anything about those days, being barren, not being able to have children, was very difficult for a woman. So during their annual pilgrimage to Shiloh, Hannah prayed, promising that if God gave her a son, she would give him back to God. She bore a son whom she named Samuel. And after she weaned him, she took him to Eli, the priest at Shiloh, in fulfillment of her promise. It was Samuel's mother, Hannah, who cooed over him, who prayed over him, who sang over him, and then weaned him so that he would be free to learn how to be in ministry and to serve God. What are the relationships? Who are the people who've brought you to be sitting here at Weston United Methodist Church this Sunday morning? My parents, I think, took me to church every time the doors were open as I was growing up. My mother's water broke at a fellowship dinner in Fellowship Hall. Maybe it's inevitable that I would end up serving at a church. My grandmother told me that she prayed for me every day. Who are the people in your life who have shepherded you, who have prayed for you, who have nurtured you in the faith? Who have your Hannahs been? And then there's Eli. He is old and can no longer see, but he is still in service. Eli mentors Samuel into identifying God's voice. Eli's role in Samuel's calling reminds us that we learn how to discern God's voice and call in proximity to people who've come before us. They help attune our ears and hearts to hear from God. Before I came to West End, I took a year-long sabbatical to explore social justice issues in the Nashville area. And I had a detailed outline of everything I planned to do. But thanks to someone very wise, it was suggested that I might want to have some companions to journey with me to help me make sure I paid attention to my spiritual life and to listening to God and how God was guiding me in this sabbatical. I met monthly with four people for prayer and spiritual reflection. When I look back, I'm amazed at and in awe about the people who agreed to journey with me. You may recognize some of these names: Sister Kathleen Flood, Bishop Sharon Brown Christopher, Reverend Barbara Garcia, and I think all of you knew Reverend Michael Williams. They were prayerful, insightful, and wonderful spiritual companions. I've been fortunate to have many Elis in my life who have helped me and guide me on my faith journey: Sunday school teachers, youth counselors, mentors, spiritual friends. Who are your Elis? I often hear people say they can worship God just as well and maybe better when they're alone, especially in nature. And that can be true, but we are called to be disciples, and I think we need community to be our companions and help us on our faith journey. Yes, you can worship God alone, but we need others to help us discern God's voice in our lives. Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening. Many of you know that my husband Eddie and I have decided to move to Atlanta at the end of the summer to be closer to our grandchildren and daughter and son-in-law. It's been a difficult decision to decide to leave a great job at such a wonderful church that I love so much. I don't have anything lined up in Atlanta and don't really know where I'll end up, but I sense God has a plan. I've started packing a little and ran across a card that Bishop Christopher gave me the last time I met with my spiritual companions at the end of my sabbatical. The front of the card says, "The sign of God is that we will be led where we did not plan to go." Bishop Christopher received this card when she agreed for the first time to be a district superintendent in her conference, a position that she was a little apprehensive about accepting. When she gave me the card, she said there's a note inside from a friend who sent her this card in support of when she made this decision to be a DS. She told me the card was from Jean Audrey. Now, I had never heard of Jean Audrey, although the rest of my spiritual companions seemed to know exactly who she was. For some reason, 6 years later, this week, I decided to Google her. And here is what I found. Jean Audrey was a leader who pushed the church to be more inclusive. She was one of the first women to be granted full clergy rights in the Methodist Church and the first to be nominated as a bishop, an honor she declined twice. Jean Audrey is also known for her work with the Reconciling Ministries Network, coming out during a sermon she gave at their national gathering in 1995. She once again paved the way for others in the church. Wow. Now, Jean Audrey is no longer with us in this world, and Bishop Sharon Brown Christopher has been retired, although she lives in the Nashville area. That's quite a legacy to hold in your hand and to strive to live up to. As I thought back about when I first received this card, it occurred to me that soon after that, I helped begin a Bible study and then a worship service in the United Methodist tradition at the Tennessee Prison for Women. I'm still involved in that service today, even though there's others who've taken some of the leadership of it. And so the Circle of Grace, which is the worship service's name, and Bible study are continuing. I don't know what's coming next. Will I once again be led where I had not planned to go? I'm a little apprehensive, but I'm trying to listen and pray. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. As you come this morning to receive communion and to kneel at the rail, you might want to take a moment to thank God for those who've brought you here, brought you to the faith, your Hannahs, and for your Elis who help guide you and help you listen to God's voice. If you don't have someone who's journeying with you, you might want to ask God to put someone in your life. And if you're ready for the possibility that God may lead you where you had not planned to go, maybe you're ready to pray. Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Now be still and listen. Amen.